Nashville, Tennessee, home of country music, has come a long way from a small, sleepy southern town where good old boys got together to make music. It's now the thriving center of a multi-million dollar music industry. Matt Middleton has more on this home of the Grand Ole Opry.
Rolling up Highway 24 through the hills of Tennessee toward Nashville, you start hearing some funny things on the CB radio.
That's a 10-4, Big Smoke, where you headed? Rolling in Hillbilly Heaven, song, song, Music City, here I come.
Hillbilly Heaven, Music City. Yes, for the devout, dedicated, and diehard fans of country music, this is like a holy pilgrimage. Nashville is country music's mecca. Years ago, it was nothing but a small town in the South that had an unusually large number of people walking around with guitar and fiddle cases, along with an assortment of small-time record companies, two-bit music publishers, and guys running about wearing suspenders and straw hats who called themselves promoters. But those were the old days. The Nashville skyline is changing.
Well, Nashville, oh mercy. It's awful. That's changed in a way, and good in a way. The town itself has just exploded. And it's just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. We are over office buildinged, we are over hoteled, and we are over condoed. And people still keep coming in, though.
She is Sarah Ophelia Conley Cannon, but her millions of fans don't know her by that name.
Howdy! I'm just so proud to be here.
Cousin Minnie Pearl became a regular comedy act on Nashville's Grand Ole Opry in 1940.
I'm a little too late for Elvis. I'm about, I'd say I'm about 30 years and 40 pounds too late. But I still look. It don't do no good, but I look. It's kind of like going down to the depot and watching the trains go by. You'll have to hear the whistle even if you ain't going nowhere.
The music business has caused the real estate business to explode, the building and construction business to explode, the furniture and house furnishings and cars. These people spend money, these country music people. You know, they don't go through all that formality of saving. They spend. And Nashville has been the happy recipient of all that.
Come ride a ray of city life, as far as I can see. The great white way shines through the night for lonely guys like me. The cabarets and honky-tonks, they're flashing signs and a broken heart to lose itself in the glow of city life.
It's sad. It's real sad. But all good things, I guess, eventually come to an end. And I wouldn't do this if the business hadn't changed so much. But it's changed a lot over the years.
Hayes Jones was depressed when I saw him. For years, he had run the Atlas Booking Agency, the oldest professional management and booking firm for country music artists in Nashville. The day I was there, they closed their doors for good. I was curious to know why someone was going out of business just when business is booming.
There was a time when I could name a lot of people, producers in this town. They were really more interested in the welfare of the artist and his or her career than where the money involved. And I can't find much of that anymore.
Over the years, he's represented some of the biggest names in country western music. Buck Owens, Jim Reeves, Ernest Tubb, Willie Nelson, Ray Price, and many more. For Hayes Jones, that's all over now. The changing of the times just didn't fit his style.
There was a time when all the agencies in town worked together a lot more closely than they do now. It seems now everybody's for self. And maybe that's not just in our business. Maybe that's a problem with the country. Too many people are for self. It's sad. Sad to see this trend going this way, and I hope that it'll reverse itself and come back. But of course, I've been hoping that for several years now.
Stu Cook plays guitar with Southern Pacific, one of the hottest country rock groups in America today.
The business of country music has really become very organized and very meticulous, and it's not just a bunch of good old boys sitting around saying, well, let's just hop on a bus and go out and play honky-tonks. It's become a very organized business. I'm sure there's a lot of people that say that is what's wrong with country music now, that it's becoming a business.
I'm walking your streets again, big city, searching every place that I see, looking for my darling big city, the one that you took away from me.
Today, the town they call Music City is living up to its name. Nashville is now responsible for nearly half of all music records and tapes produced in the U.S. There are 88 record wholesalers and manufacturers in town, dozens of promotion firms, over 150 music publishers, and scores of recording studios.
Now it's a multi-million, billion-dollar industry, and you either like it or not, it's here. And it's, you know, it's something that I worry about because I liked it the way it was.
If someone wants to know anything about the way it was, there's only one way to turn back the clock. You have to visit the Country Music Hall of Fame. Over 2 million people a year visit this most unique museum that honors the traditions, the legends, and the stars of country music. On one wall, a large 7-by-10-foot painting by the American artist Thomas Hart Benton provides a clue in trying to understand what country music is. It's called The Sources of Country Music and graphically portrays themes related to gospel singing, the American cowboy, the hillbilly backwoods, the Mississippi of Mark Twain's time, the bayous of Louisiana Cajun country, railroads, black slavery, and more. Country music's origins are as diverse as America's are. The wide variety of these origins perhaps explains something about country music's large and growing worldwide audience. There's something for almost everybody. The Grand Ole Opry, the American showcase of country western talent, is the longest-running radio show in America.
Hello, everyone. This is Grant Turner welcoming you to Country Music Time in Tennessee. A whole wagon load of stars are here to bring you music and fun as it's done the old-time way here in Tennessee. And to start things off, here's a hoedown by Benny Martin and the boys. Play on, Big Tie.
Throughout the entire museum, you get a strong sense of the historical perspective from 1920s vintage films with Jimmy Rogers, the singing brakeman, to original manuscripts of songs written on barroom napkins in a wobbly scribble. There are some things here, though, that come close to being on the fine line between museum displays and an odd form of what borders on icon worship. They have Roy Rogers cowboy boots, a Dolly Parton sequin pantsuit, Charlie Pride's loafers, and an incredible assortment of personal memorabilia. But certainly the most unusual display of all these is Elvis Presley's Cadillac.
The solid gold theme has been carried throughout the car, from the gold and white interior upholstery to Elvis's gold brush and comb set. For entertainment on the road, Elvis added a 24-carat gold-plated television set, black and white, of course, and a 45 RPM record player.
Elvis was born in Tupelo, Mississippi. His southern roots and the strong influence country music of many forms, gospel, hillbilly, and western, had on his life and music certainly gave him, or at least his Cadillac, a spot in the Country Music Hall of Fame. But Elvis became a victim of his own stardom. It was a real and very avoidable tragedy. He apparently simply couldn't, in the long run, cope with his phenomenal success. The lifestyle somehow lost touch with its beginnings, its origins, something solid and real. It would be a real shame and a big loss for the world of music if Nashville ever did the same. In Music City, Nashville, Tennessee, this is Matt Middleton for the Weekend Edition.